Welcome back. 418, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Expecting to talk with Guy Taylor at the State Department in just a couple of minutes. Although, I got to tell you something. There's been a couple of things happening over at the State Department today, and he is our correspondent there, and it appears perhaps he's tied up at the moment. Well, not literally. Well, that's a story for another day, I guess. Anyhow, we're dealing with the story of the Benghazi review. It is in, this is the information we received yesterday, and it revealed what seemed to be a systematic failure at the State Department. It didn't stop the president from visiting to applaud the efforts of folks there, including Secretary Hillary Clinton. That was quite a surprise, right? The president never mentioned Benghazi. He was there yesterday afternoon. Evidently a big reception there. They have a holiday reception every year. Hillary was not there. She is at home recovering from her concussion, and she didn't evidently receive medical attention. So, you know, John Bolton said, hey, you know, Hillary's suffering from diplomatic, what do you call it? Diplomatic illness. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into all of that and more. Oh, it appears Guy Taylor has been found, you know, hiding in the State Department, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, Washington Times State Department correspondent. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. All right.
Hiding out.
Yeah, hiding out over there. All right. Lawmakers insisting on justice for Benghazi attack on consulate. That was the headline this morning with your name attached to it. So I guess yesterday Republicans got some answers to their questions regarding the embassy attack in Benghazi. Or was it just a confirmation of what they already knew?
It was just a confirmation of what they already knew. But I think there was definitely a tempered response initially from some of the louder voices that we'd heard from the Republican House in September in response to the Benghazi attack. Specifically, I think Daryl Issa, Elena Ross-Bladman, initially they came out this week and they said, wow, you know, actually this report is pretty harsh. It swings the hammer up to the assistant secretary level, and we've seen heads roll at State this week. So I think they wanted to get behind it rather than dig into deeper partisanship and say, oh, we're just going to dismiss this report altogether. Of course, that's changing a little bit now today. Elena Ross-Bladman, the head of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, came out with a statement reminding everybody that as harsh as this report is and as much as she agrees with it, she still is demanding that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton appear to testify and answer questions. And she's also pointing out that the report does not delve into these questions of why the story that the administration told and the U.S. intelligence community, specifically the CIA, told the administration to tell differed from what really happened early on, and the question of whether or not the administration was engaged in some sort of a cover-up for political means right ahead of the election.
I was just going to ask you about that. Nothing was found in this report that would indicate that, though, right?
Well, you know, it's a really good question. The report itself points out to a level of clarity where there was a failure of leadership and where the senior State Department officials did not properly respond to requests for security in ways that differ now from the original testimonies that certain State Department officials had made during the original hearings right after the attack, if you'll recall. So in that respect, if you really wanted to, you know, bend it around a little bit, you could say that the appearance of a cover-up was still there. But the reality is the report basically says, you know, this was a terrorist attack in a war-torn country, and the notion that the administration somehow was able to take information and twist it around for political gain is somewhat ridiculous. So I don't think people are going to get mileage out of the report itself to back up those claims. And that's probably what's causing some frustration now that this thing's been out for a few days on the Hill.
All right. Now, I heard a rumbling about 20 minutes ago that perhaps Hillary would testify in January. Do you have anything on that?
I I don't have anything immediate on that. I would be surprised if she does not. I do think there's some validity to her claim of illness. You know, she has had a really aggressive travel schedule, and I think that she did legitimately, you know, I'm not a doctor, but the line from the State Department is that she had come down with a stomach virus, and then she had grown lightheaded because it had gone on for a few days and actually fallen and suffered a concussion. And the doctors had said that she really needed to rest. So I wouldn't, seeing how Hillary Clinton has kind of conducted herself over the last 4 years, I'd be really surprised if she tries to dodge a bunch of congressmen in a hearing, especially when she's already made her intentions pretty clear that she doesn't want to stay on as Secretary of State for another 4 years. I don't see what reason she has not to testify.
Well, the thought is that she wouldn't want anything to cripple a 2016 run for the presidency, if you believe some. All right,
and I'm just having a hard time jumping on that bandwagon of theory. And
yeah. Oh, no, I understand that.
You know, covered the State Department closely enough, and to hear Clinton's remarks over the last 6 months, in which on several occasions she's made it pretty clear that she's, you know, doesn't want to stay on the state, wants to kind of get out of the public eye.
Yeah.
We got to point out she's going to be 70 years old in 2016. Maybe people think I'm age discriminating or something by pointing that out, but you know, I don't think the signs are really totally clear that she's about to, that she's trying to engage in some sort of Machiavellian end run.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Run for the president after eight years of Democratic administration in Washington.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. In fact, I've said the very same thing, and I actually got chastised for saying it because she's a woman, and she would be, as you say, close to 70 years old if indeed she did decide to run in 2016.
But I could jump in here and argue the other side of the coin very easily and say that she's also a Clinton.
Yeah, oh, no,
and
no.
People
no.
are smooth like that. So
no.
She may well want to, you know, who knows?
All right. Well, the point I was getting at is that, you know, you've heard by now, John Bolton came out on Fox TV and said, hey, you know, this is known as diplomatic illness. And I was wondering if anyone addressed that at the State Department or you were hearing any things behind the scenes about
no,
his
absolutely
comments.
Not. Yeah. I mean, people say, you know, she's really sick. And
yeah.
But look, I think that probably what Bolton is getting at is that we don't want to underestimate, much as we need to keep our eye on the facts, you never want to underestimate the capability of a group of diplomats to engage in perception control maneuvers,
yeah,
such as feigning an illness,
mm-hmm,
to avoid public scrutiny or a massive political show. Why he can't come out and say that directly, you know, that's what he thinks she's doing. I didn't see what he said, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what he claimed. It was the oldest trick in the book, and that people, whether they're ambassadors or whether they're, any diplomats, he said they all use it. They call it diplomatic illness. And I sort of thought he was half joking when he said
maybe
it.
Maybe I should use reporter's illness.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Me too. Radio announcer's illness. Yeah. All right. Now, you had mentioned at the onset that there were some firings or, I guess, resignations, you know, over all of this. What, four people? Are we expecting more?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
I mean, although, again, I think that you're going to see that Hillary Clinton's going to resign at some point here. And I don't think she's, you know, a lot of the really tricky dance going on is that, in fact, regardless of her potential presidential ambitions, she doesn't want to hand in her resignation while this is a really hot issue.
Yeah.
Because it will appear as if, well, you know, I've had enough. I'm finally stepping down now.
Yeah.
Because I just can't take this anymore. So, you know, she might need to wait it out for another month or so. I mean, the debate on the Hill is that it'll be John Kerry that replaces her. But ask the question of whether or not more officials are going to resign. I don't think we're going to see more. I haven't heard calls from lawmakers on the Hill, Republicans, mm-hmm, especially, for any specific person to be fired or taken down. I mean, I think you're gonna hear the volume go up on calls, particularly from Republican committee heads in the House, for Hillary to come testify.
Yep.
And it looks like that'll probably happen in January.
All right, very good. Thanks for the update, Guy. If I don't talk to you again before Christmas, have a merry one and a happy new year.
Well, Merry Christmas, Andy. Thank
Take care. Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent, 428, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.